Support for User Defenders is provided by Adobe XD. Adobe XD reimagines how designers create user experiences for websites, mobile, and more. Try it free at userdefenders.com/XD.
I deserve good things. I am entitled to my share of happiness. I refuse to beat myself up. I am an attractive person. I am fun to be with.
Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley is a caring nurturer, a member of several 12-step programs, but not a licensed therapist.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Well, greetings, User Defenders. It's me, your faithful host, Jason Ogle. I am attempting something that I've never done before. I'm doing a monologue episode where I'm going to be addressing the important and very common condition known as imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is defined as a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Sound familiar? I know it does to me. In fact, I want to open this up with a story of something that happened really recently. Actually, this is my second time recording this, and I'm kind of glad because that what I'm about to tell you happened after the first time recording it, and I wouldn't have had this story to tell you and to get a little vulnerable with you about how I suffer from imposter syndrome. Recently, I had the immense and surprising pleasure of speaking to one of my marketing and UX superheroes, and his name is Seth Godin. I have a feeling that a good percentage of you defenders listening have heard of Seth Godin. He is incredible. He's awesome. And he's really been somebody I've looked up to and learned a ton from throughout the past 25 plus years of my career. And so when he said yes to being on User Defenders, I had about... First of all, I was completely shocked and completely humbled and grateful that he wanted to be on the show. And secondly, I had about a month plus to kind of realize that he's going to be on the show. I'm going to be interviewing somebody that I've really admired for so long. So here's a couple of lessons that I learned in this process that I'd like to share with you. And this is going somewhere. This is leading up into the main topic here of imposter syndrome. So for one, I think the biggest mistake I made was working myself up so much leading up to my time with Seth. So I had, you know, when in passing, when I would talk to some folks about this opportunity, I would tend to frame it in like, oh my gosh, it's happening. I can't believe this is happening. And just kind of work myself up about it. Like, kind of like, who am I to talk to Seth Godin? You know, that kind of, it's that kind of mindset. And that was kind of a minus one, first of all. Because once you put somebody on a pedestal, all they can do is look down on you. So that was the first thing that I kind of learned about it. So again, all of these things leading up to it and making sure my questions were perfect and all these things, I worked myself up. So the day of the interview, when it did happen, I just was really starstruck and I just was really nervous. And again, I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like, who am I to talk to Seth Godin, right? And the reality is, he said yes. He said yes to me to be on my show. And that should have been enough for me to go, okay, great. There's a nice validation right there. But I didn't view it that way initially. So here's what happened in the opening moments of my talk with Seth. First of all, I was late, you know, minus two right there. Seth was on time, as he always is. He's such a pro. The guy is an absolute professional through and through. 10 minutes before the time, he sent me a text on Skype saying, ready in 10? And I was like, yep. And, of course, me being the recovering perfectionist that I am, I had this panic attack moment about 3 minutes before my interview with Seth of thinking like, oh, this is so important that I cannot, I have to make sure that my computer is totally fine-tuned. I haven't restarted my computer in a long time. Oh, crap, I better do that. And so I told Seth, I got to restart my computer. I'll be right back. And so all that to say, you know, that takes a few moments. It takes a few moments to restart. It takes a few moments to get all your applications back up. And, you know, and with the gear, recording gear and such, right out from the outset, me getting on the microphone and saying, hi, Seth, I'm sorry I'm late. You know, I'm a total unprofessional right now. And how that was another lesson right there is be prompt. And, you know, there's a quote that I really like a lot is if you're not early, you're late. And that was another big lesson for me in this. Okay, so leading up to my kind of imposter syndrome moment where, and I'd like to share some audio with you, and I don't think Seth is going to mind because there is a good lesson to be learned here in this. This was right before the interview started. And as you defenders know, I like to read the bio of my guest leading into our conversation. I feel like it's a great way, if you don't know somebody, it's a great way to kind of get a quick snapshot of who they are and where they're coming from. So I really wanted to read his bio, and I like to do that live. I just feel like it saves time, and I could not get through his bio. I was so nervous. So I'm going to share a clip with you. So check this out. My guest today needs no introduction, but I'm going to go ahead and read his bio anyway, because that's just kind of in the tradition of User Defenders podcast. And for maybe those of you who may not have heard of Seth Godin, I'm just going to read this real quick. Seth Godin is the author of 18 books that have been bestsellers around the world and have been translated into more than 35 languages. He's also the founder of the Alt MBA and the Marketing Seminar, online workshops. Okay, let me do that again. Actually, you know what? I'll do the bio after.
Sound great. Don't worry.
Is that okay? All right. I'll start over real quick. All right. Seth Godin is the author of 18 books that have been bestsellers around the world and have been translated into more than 35 languages. He's also the founder of the Alt MBA and the Marketing Seminar, which is online workshops that have been transformed. Sorry.
Why don't you do it after we're done?
Okay. All right. We'll do. So that's my story. That's kind of the kick things off. I just wanted to be vulnerable with you defenders that I suffer from this. I've been doing this work in different, of course, capacities because the field has evolved so much. But I've been doing this work professionally since 1999 and unprofessionally another 3 years before that. I've been at this for a long time, so you're not alone if you feel like you have imposter syndrome, which I have a feeling you do because most of us suffer from it. So that's kind of the way I wanted to kick this off. So let's talk about imposter syndrome. As I mentioned, it's just the feeling that you're not good enough and you're a fraud and you'll be exposed at any moment. And I wanted to just kind of talk about why do we have it? You know, why do we have this thing, this psychological syndrome? Well, a lot of it kind of dates all the way back to, I think, you know, early years of civilization. If you even want to go back to caveman days, as you will, like I'm not a believer in evolution, but I know that there was at one point, there was a civilization that was certainly not modernized. And so there's the whole tribalism effect where people, in order to survive, tribal groups of people, they depended on each other in a great way and a great deal, because if you're on your own, you just have a greater chance that you will not survive because of different things. Farming, water, finding water sources. There's the threat of hostile creatures, predators, and all these things that, you know, we need each other, and that has not changed at all. But going back into ancient times, If you were found guilty of a crime, perhaps, chances are the consequence to your crime in those days could have been banishment from your community, from your tribe. And that was kind of one of those things where the whole community would be like, oh, wow, they're dead to us. They're basically, you know, that's probably where that whole phrase, you're dead to me, came from. Because I think a lot of the people knew that once somebody's excommunicated or banished from a community or from a tribe, chances are they're not going to survive. And they may have kids. And I think of this movie called The Witch, which I don't recommend watching. But there's basically the whole premise of this movie is these people in colonial times, they were banished. He was kind of seen as a heretic. So he was banished. He and his family were banished from their community, and they had to go out and basically find, live in the woods and dwell in the woods and make their own home there on their own. And really bad things happened after that. So this is another example of tribalism. That's why we kind of feel the need to kind of stay in the tribe. So the fear of being excommunicated. So that's the reason we fear being exposed. We don't want to face a consequence of being banished and being on our own and having to fend for ourselves, so to speak. So that's a big part of the reason we have it psychologically. And again, it dates back a long time. Design and build interactive prototypes, update artwork, and test your experiences all without having to upload, sync, or jump back and forth between apps. Adobe XD is available for both Mac and PC and integrates with Adobe Creative Cloud libraries, meaning that no matter what your team configuration, XD has you covered. And now you can get Adobe XD for free. Just go to userdefenders.com/XD to learn more. The other thing I want to talk about related to this is the Dunning-Kruger effect. And Denise Jacobs and I talked about this in a recent episode. You can check that out if you haven't already. And Dunning-Kruger effect, this is a study by two psychologists, David Dunning and Justin Kruger. And basically in their findings, they discovered that unskilled people lack the skill necessary to evaluate their own skill, and that the skills needed to be competent at a particular task, there are virtually identical to those required to evaluate one's competence. So that's kind of the clinical definition. But basically what that means is they discovered that a lot of people were low in what is called metacognition or metacognitive skills, also known as self-awareness, which is an imperative leadership skill, by the way, to possess. So metacognition is thinking about thinking, knowing about knowing. So they did a test on college students. That seems like most of our psychology research and information we have, it seems like a good portion of that has been tested on college students for whatever reason. But anyway, they did a test and they discovered that people who thought they were really good at something, they tested them and discovered that they really weren't. And so that's kind of where that phrase comes from, is the Dunning-Kruger effect. And of course, we all know the American Idol syndrome. That can almost be a clinical label as well, I think, and it's directly tied to Dunning-Kruger. What happens during the audition season, right in the beginning of the show, you get some really awful, awful singers that come on, and they just don't know that they don't know how bad they are. So that's a problem. And again, they're just lacking in metacognition.
Why? Insanity laughs under pressure. We're cracking. Can we give ourselves one more chance? Why can't we give love that one more chance? Why can't we give love, give love?
Oh.
You don't look too pleased, Simon.
It was almost as bad as it can possibly get, Brenna. I mean, the intro in particular, that
Oh, my God.
Do you want me to sing something else?
Brenna, I don't want to hear anything more
from
you. Because I just hated the audition.
Why?
Because it's pointless. You're not going to go through to the next round.
I don't understand why you won't give me a chance to
I'll tell you why, because I just heard you sing.
Okay, but I have 10 years of training, so I don't understand why they wouldn't tell me 10 years ago that I wasn't good. I have a degree in vocal performance.
All right, Brenna, it's a no, Donnie.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Is there anything that I can do to improve?
Leave.
So here's the good news is, Defenders, if you have imposter syndrome, which I have a strong feeling that you do, and that's okay, we all do, you're in a good place. That means you know you can get better. And so that's good. That's a good thing. And if you have Dunning-Kruger effect, you wouldn't be worried about imposter syndrome. That's the bottom line. So don't worry about it. You don't have Dunning-Kruger. And so here's where we kind of start getting into how do we overcome it, okay? Because that's important. We want to know, okay, we already know what imposter syndrome is. We already know why we have it. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. How do we overcome this? And this is a big one right here. We need to build confidence. We have to build our confidence. And there's a big difference. I want to caveat this too, because there's a big difference between confidence and arrogance. Arrogance is really wrapped up in ego. Todd Henry says, confidence says I can get this right. Ego says I can do no wrong. And as I always say, your ego is not your amigo. So here's the thing. We need a little bit of ego to be confident. So there's kind of a weird dichotomy at work here. There's kind of some paradox here. We do need some ego. Okay. I'm not saying your ego is unnecessary. It's just not your friend. Okay. So be careful with ego. We need some to be confident. And especially again, as a leader, because who wants to follow somebody that's just always looking at their shoes, right? And moping and just doesn't have any confidence, right? So we do need to follow a leader that has some ego, but there's a nice balance there, but not too much to where you're an arrogant jackbutt, is what I say. So again, use your metacognition superpowers to find that fine line so you can walk it humbly and confidently. So one way to build confidence is, and this is super important, Defenders, right here, build up and embrace the little wins, okay? I know as a lot of us, and I know if you're like me, you kind of want those big victories because those are the ones that we tend to kind of really strive for. We want the recognition, and that's okay. But really, how often when we're looking for the really big win, do we actually overlook all these little ones that have happened in our lives? And that moment of crisis when that inner critic is in our head and trying to tell us we're no good, we don't have anything to lean on. We're just going off of how we feel and what our minds are thinking in that moment. And if we don't have some ammunition, we don't have a way to fight back, right? So this is really, really important. I want to encourage you to start journaling your wins, even the little ones, okay? Especially the little ones. Start journaling your wins. It could be something like, oh, wow, awesome. I got my blog published on an awesome design pub, right? It could be something like that. Like, embrace that. Bookmark that. Put that in your portfolio. And it could be like, it could be even something like, oh, wow, I won, my website won a design award. Things like that. Like, those are really neat things. And I'm not saying we should always try to win awards. Honestly, some of the best work out there is not, quote unquote, award winning, right? And here's an example. Like, I love to go to the movies, and I have a feeling you might too. How often when you're looking at Flixster or something, or like the Rotten Tomatoes, and you'll see the Rotten Tomato rating, which means like the film critics, the official film critics have rated it. But then you'll also see like the viewers or users rating. And how often have you seen a movie that is like completely imbalanced, right? Like the critics gave it like 30% Rotten Tomatoes, but then the viewers, the masses, which are the movie, which the movies are really made for primarily, the ones buying tickets, those ratings are like skyrocketed. Those are through the roof. So that's another example right there, just to continue to reflect on your wins when you're feeling like you're just not good enough and a fraud. So you can say, once you look at that, and I use Evernote for this to keep a journal of little wins like this. And I would say you can look at that and you go, yes, I am good enough, and here's proof. So in my interview with Denise Jacobs, who wrote a great book called Banish Your Inner Critic, which I highly recommend. That's another way to overcome imposter syndrome, at least cope with. You know, again, it's going to be really hard to overcome this, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But her book is really great in giving you the ammunition that you need when that unwelcome voice starts yapping in your skull. I wrote an article too. This, I'm going to put this in the show notes. This might help as well. It's called Confidence is Contagious, So is Lack of Confidence. And that was a quote from the great coach, Vince Lombardi. So I also want to talk about, I want to kind of share a quote from Ira Glass, because he did this interview way back in 2009. So nearly 10 years ago, that is also known as the Taste Gap. And this interview, this is a snippet, this is a clip from an interview that he did that is still inspiring newer creatives today and even seasoned ones. I read this and I was like, this is awesome. This is gold. I'm gonna bookmark this as well. So, and I think you'll agree. Here's what he said.
Nobody tells people who are beginners, and I really wish somebody had told this to me, is that all of us who do creative work, like, you know, we get into it, and we get into it because we have good taste. But it's like there's a gap, that for the first couple of years that you're making stuff, what you're making isn't so good, okay? It's not that great. It's trying to be good. It has ambition to be good, but it's not quite that good. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, your taste is still killer. And your taste is good enough that you can tell that what you're making is kind of a disappointment to you. You know what I mean? A lot of people never get past that phase. A lot of people at that point, they quit. And the thing I would just like say to you with all my heart is that most everybody I know who does interesting creative work, they went through a phase of years where they had really good taste. They could tell what they were making wasn't as good as they wanted it to be. They knew it felt short. It didn't have this special thing that we wanted it to have. And the thing I would say to you is everybody goes through that. And for you to go through it, if you're going through it right now, if you're just getting out of that phase, you got to know it's totally normal. And the most important possible thing you could do is do a lot of work. Do a huge volume of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week or every month you know you're going to finish one story. Because it's only by actually going through a volume of work that you're actually going to catch up and close that gap. And the work you're making will be as good as your ambitions. In my case, like I took longer to figure out how to do this than anybody I've ever met. It takes a while. It's going to take you a while. It's normal to take a while, and you just have to fight your way through that, okay?
So I've got good news and bad news, okay? Let's start with the bad. As I kind of alluded to, we will never totally overcome imposter syndrome. Why? Because wherever we go, there we are. So I think it just comes with facing it. We need to face our fears always. And I love what Seth Godin says. He says we need to dance with our fears. I love that framing. The thing is that we can learn. Here's the good news, right? We can learn to overcome it and even banish it to the point to where once it even rears its ugly head in our heads, we can immediately stop and we can gain the superpowers to actually silence that critic and, as Denise Jacobs says, banish it, which I love that. So, you know, apply the things. Here's the way. Apply what you learned in this episode. I hope it was helpful. And please let me know if it was on Twitter. And also, my inspiring interview with Denise Jacobs, that just aired recently, previously to this. There's two parts, so please check that out as well. Because it's just like in warfare. You know, once we know our enemy through and through, we are more equipped to battle that enemy and achieve the victories necessary in this ongoing war. So this is, again, this is a war. And the war, a battle means it's one and done, right? But a war means it's ongoing. So here's the thing. We are in a war, but the good news is we can overcome and we can win battles, every battle that comes, if we truly desire. Use our growth mindset, defenders. So in closing, fight through it. As Ira Glass encouraged us, I love his quote. We are good. We do have good taste. We just got to fight through the bad stuff. And that's another thing. Get through, you know, if you have some, if you have a bunch of bad ideas, just get those out, and then you'll eventually get to the good ones. That's another great exercise to do as well. You're not alone. We're all making it up as we go along. And you know what? You got this, Defender. If you found value in this little monologue, the first one ever on User Defenders podcast, please share it, this episode out on Twitter and mention User Defenders. And I'd love to know what you learned and if this encouraged you. And also let me know on Twitter if you have other areas that you'd like me to address in like a monologue format like this, because this might become a habit. So, but that depends, you know, as Jared Spool says, I'll need you to encourage my behavior. So, thanks so much for listening to this. I really truly hope that it helped you and encouraged you and inspired you to know that you got this. You are good enough. Okay. So, thanks so much. And again, there's some links in the show notes you can check out. Last but not least, as always, I just want to say, fight on, my friends.